get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Hello, everybody. How are we doing? There's been a lot of new changes to the podcast. If you are watching, you can tell that we are now in a new location. We're in a studio, and it looks so fire. That's change number one. And change number two is we actually changed the podcast name. So the pod was previously called the Secret Place Podcast, which it eats, but now it is called the Crew Ellington Podcast. The Lord just told me to change it. Don't really have any other super spiritual meaning, but I'm so freaking excited today. The first episode starting in, I have my best friends, Allie Yost and Ashley Hetherington.
Yay! We love Crew!
We're so excited.
We love you, bro.
Yeah, I'm so blessed. Like, we were supposed to have another person on today, and I was going to have to, like, we're going to film our episode, like, later this month, and I was going to have to act like that was the first, and, like, the Lord literally switched it perfectly to where
so
this is the first one. He's just so good. Thank you guys for being on.
We're honored. We're so honored. This is the first one. I love this setup, too, bro. It looks great.
Nah, they ate,
it's
like,
beautiful.
The wood. It's giving aloe.
It is.
It's giving Air One.
I love it. It's giving Equinox. Air One.
So,
sure.
Right, Equinox, though, for real. Yeah, guys, so I've lived in L.A. for a little bit. I have an Equinox membership.
Now we're in a studio.
We're in a studio now. Thank
this
you.
This city's changed me
it's
a little bit.
It's giving level up.
It is giving level up. Yes. Dang, yeah. I have so much joy in my heart right now. I just feel so blessed.
Praise God.
It has been almost, how many months since you guys both, because y'all were, we haven't had a pod with us three together. It's like separate.
Yeah.
It was when we first met.
Yeah.
So y'all, if y'all are real ones, then you remember the first episode that I had with Allie and Ashley. Oh my gosh. To start the season two, and then now we're going into season three, and
that's
y'all are
fun.
The first.
And that might have been like 7 months ago. I don't know.
We need life updates.
March.
Yeah, right. A lot has happened, honey.
Yeah.
A lot has happened.
I haven't even given my followers any life updates in moving to California, all y'all.
Oh, wow. You should do like a bonus episode. And just do like a life update for them. That
I
would
think
be
that'd
sweet.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
But basically, we all moved to California, and now we're here, and we're all leveling up in the spirit.
That is the goal, to level up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
What do you feel like in moving here has been like the hardest part?
Mm. Ashley, what do you think?
We've been here, what, 6 months almost each.
I would say, man, that's such a good question, Carew. I would say trusting God in the unknown.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like I still haven't seen what the Lord told me he was going to do here. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So trusting him, even without seeing it, I'm like, okay, I followed you to this land. I don't see it, but I know it's coming. So I would say that's for me.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah.
You feel that for you too?
Sure. Yeah. I think that that's definitely been one of the most challenging things with just this whole journey with the Lord is just trusting that he has a plan. And I think it might be easy for us that as soon as we step into a new season, we're like, all right, Lord, where is it? You know, like right as we're stepping into
it. Come on. Yeah.
But he's really showed us that, we have stepped into a new season, but we still have to have patience in it, which is so funny. I think we really want that instant gratification where when we step out in that faith, we want like the immediate promises. And sometimes it's just not like that. So I know for a fact that he moved us out here for a reason. And I think we have gotten clarity. Like I don't think the way that we feel now is the same that we felt when we first moved here. I mm-hmm. think the Lord has continued to speak to us and show us, and he has been giving us things that we really prayed for. So it's not like he's just left us and we haven't received a thing,
yeah.
But we definitely are still waiting on some things. And so, yeah, but it's so cool because I just think through those challenges, my faith has grown so much more with him. Mm-hmm. Like I am even more obsessed with him because of the challenges that I've had to go through with really keeping that faith of not receiving the things instantly. But for some reason, it actually has made me more obsessed with him.
Dang.
Which feels backwards. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
Can we give, because I know a lot of people are listening, can we give everyone a SparkNotes version of how we're here, why we're here and everything? Because
yeah, we should.
I know we did it on your pod, but like my people have no clue probably. Because I'd just be moving in silence.
Yeah.
Roji's moving in silence like lasagna.
I love that.
Amen.
Well, and I also think that's good too, because it doesn't really allow it doesn't allow too many voices and opinions. Sometimes it's good to kind of move in silence with the Lord so that you're really only hearing his voice and you're not allowing too many, especially when you're in such a vulnerable new place of just doing something with the Lord for the first time. It's kind of risky to bring that to so many people because you're like a little baby in that, you know? So you're really vulnerable still.
And I feel like that's
wisdom, bro.
That's why I didn't say anything. Cause like being on social media for 4 or 5 years, I think I used to post everything, every action, everything I would do.
Same.
And now I've realized it's just like when posting everything, that's so good, Al. Dang.
Like, let's get through the woods with the Lord first. Because I just think that when you're in the midst of it or you're just starting to walk into it, that's like when you're the most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's wise to bring it to the world. Or even if you're not, it doesn't even have to be something as extreme as, you know, people like us where we have this internet thing for us. But it's like, even your personal life, if there's something that you're walking through with the Lord, I think it's really wise to keep it to very few people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many things that I just simply trust Ashley with, or even just the two of you guys. And I don't bring it to everybody just because it's so vulnerable still. So that's just a side tangent, but I think it's wise that you don't. So anyway.
No, I think that's really good.
But now we can crack it open.
So anyways, y'all. Ash, will you explain the Spark Notes? Because you're good at Spark
She's
Notes.
She's so good at
Me
Spark
and you
notes.
Were, yep.
We tell our testimonies and we're like, well, it all started back
right.
in. And
I have too much time left.
She sums up her whole testimony in 45 seconds.
Right.
That's crazy. That?
Okay. So, we are not friends. We don't know each other yet.
Okay.
Allie and I become friends last year, at the end of last year, which is so crazy, in Nashville. We end up going to Passion. Carew Ellington is also at Passion. We do not meet Carew there, but, you know, he's there. And then we go to the Send, and this is where I might need y'all's help, but right around
Ashley
the Send.
Ashley has a little head cold. If you,
I'm sorry,
she
guys.
She might sniffle in your ears a couple times. Sniffles.
So we go to the Send. And at the Send, it's this conference in Nashville, and it's about, being sent out on mission to do the Lord's work. We all raise our shoes in the air. Allie and I are together. Carew Ellington is also in the press.
Carew Ellington? Why Carew Ellington?
Because it's the Carew Ellington podcast. So we are raising our shoes in the air, and we're like, Lord, send me. All of us are saying that. Shortly
it's
after
just
that,
so funny.
Weeks after that, y'all, Carew and Allie get connected through Carew's podcast. And then I meet Carew through Allie meeting Carew. And then Carew somehow, some way, gets into my book launch party.
So then
I meet him my book launch party dress.
Let's talk about the book launch party.
For the first time.
I'm
like, hey.
You look like you were getting married. She ate so
she
hard,
ate.
Y'all.
She ate.
Devoured. First time kind of, I'm like, dang, is she getting married? She ate.
It literally looked like I was getting married.
At your book launch party, I remember going down with Ashley Jones, our other friend, literally rebuking spirits. Stuff was happening.
I was
happening.
Obsessed with that.
Because there was it was literally at some demonic coffee shop, and we were like, And then she ended up posting a video about it. So it's funny. So it's like, as you're over here doing your book launch party, we're like going undercover, special ops, praying over the building, anointing it.
We needed that. But that was so fun. And then so literally that week, we just all become so close. And
we had found out that Carew only lived 2 hours from Nashville, which was just so the Lord too.
Crazy.
He literally could physically just drive to us.
And you know, you need to use wisdom when you become friends with someone really quick, but also you need to also be in tune with the spirit, like asking the spirit and being in tune with the spirit when the Lord is just like blessing you with the relationship and he's expediting it.
Yeah.
And I feel like for the three of us, he just expedited our friendship where it was just clearly sent from God.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you are wondering who your people are. You're wondering who your people are. You're wondering who your people are. Oh, we're just going to put you three together.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be like a literal unit. Yeah. We called each other the Avengers.
I'm going to cry.
Not the Avengers, but the Evangers, because we are evangelists for the Lord.
That
but anyway,
eats.
Free to take that for your group of friends.
Take
but
it.
Make sure you tag us because I came up with that. And I like Avengers and Marvel.
No, give it. Give us credit.
Evangers.
Anyway, so then we end up becoming so close, just like a unit. And we are like
a cord of three strands,
cord of three strands,
baby.
Strengthening each other in the spirit, fasting together, praying together. And then shortly after that, we end up all three going to California because we all just somehow, some way were going there the same week.
Y'all had flights already booked. And I said, oh, y'all, I'm going to California. You said, no way, me too. I said, what date? And you said, oh, the middle of what, March? And I said, no way, me too.
Yeah.
No, like,
let's get
guys,
an Airbnb.
Guys, that's crazy. Like, you can't make that up.
No.
So, again, you're going to see when the Lord's in your friendships because stuff like that's just going to happen.
Like, so dumb clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, long story short, we end up going to California together. We all feel from the Lord that we are supposed to move here to start revival. Again, when I talk about things that we have not seen yet, that is one of the things. I know we are here to see a huge revival. I know that is, I will say that in so much confidence.
We believe even that the Lord has led us, and this isn't like a we're going to start revival type beat. It's like God has literally placed it on each of our hearts that he wants to use us.
Even if we're intercessors, y'all, even if we're underground, that's
whatever
a thing.
It looks like. But we just knew that God was leading us to California to physically be here on these grounds to intercede, lead, like whatever God wants to use us for revival in this generation, because we genuinely believe it. It hasn't started yet, but we genuinely believe in the deep depths of our souls and our hearts that revival is going to break out in this generation like the world has never seen. Mark my word, if I sound crazy then
and
it never happens, then so be it. I don't
I'll
care.
I'll sound crazy with you.
But I genuinely believe this is going to be the biggest revival the world will ever see. Because why, like with social media and everything that we have, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we all felt that with being in California.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to take over.
Well,
but
no, I mean, that's it. So now we're all here.
Yeah.
We're all doing our careers.
We're like this.
Doing our podcasts.
Yes.
Living our lives. You know, finding friends. Figuring things out. You know. Going through things
together.
Let's
talk about finding friends.
Let's talk about finding friends.
I think that's been a thing in moving here and moving to a new everything.
Yeah.
For me, at my hometown, I didn't really have that many friends. Mainly just my family. It was my tighter circle, and I had a few other friends. But, like, coming here and just, like, trying to figure out, like, what friendships look like. I think what I've just been blessed by our friendship as a whole.
Yeah.
And moving here, it's like, there's been amazing people that the Lord has like brought into my life, into you guys' lives. But it's really like at the end of the day, it's like y'all are like my family.
Same.
And it's like I can't always look back to y'all, and I know that y'all aren't gonna leave. And it's like some people may come and go, and you know, I might think that one person might be one way because of the things that they say, but their actions are showing otherwise.
Yeah, the fruit, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a huge thing that I've noticed in California. There's a lot of people who are really gifted.
Yeah.
You know, they can prophesy.
Super talented.
You know, speak in tongues or whatever. All these
the
healings
go crazy.
And all these giftings, but they're bearing no fruit.
Yeah.
And what I've been realizing is humility is the root of the fruit.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if somebody is not humble, they're like, they can't bear any fruit.
Period.
So just because somebody is operating in gifting doesn't even mean that they are following the Lord.
Mm.
I'm going to be honest, because the Lord can use anything. If he can use Pharaoh, he can use anybody else.
Yeah.
So
it's
really had to make me change my mind to where I no longer look at, you know, the giftings and how someone edified me, or, you know, if the Lord's really using that person. But I say, what does your time in secret look like? What do you look like behind the scenes when there's no cameras? Mm-hmm. What do you look like when no one else is looking at you? How do you actually,
what's your secret life like?
Exactly. Because the Word of God tells us that, like, everyone's secret life, it'll eventually come to light. Like, the Lord will expose it.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm just going to say this, whether that we keep this in the pot or not, but I'm just going to say this, that I think the thing that the Lord has really been walking me through is, you know, I've only really been obedient and like truly dedicating my life, walking with Jesus wholeheartedly for a year and a half. And so being in the world was like not that long ago for me. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember the things that I saw in the world when it came to people and friendships. And I think the biggest wake up call for me was that just because somebody is a Christian, I'm just seeing that they're, people are just still people. Mm. Does that make sense?
No one's perfect.
Nobody is perfect. And I don't know if I had an expectation that once I came into Christianity, all of these people were going to walk just like Jesus.
And you could immediately like trust Jesus. Every Christian.
I could immediately trust people. They would never hurt me and like stomp on my heart the way that worldly people did, right? But that's just not the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you can't trust Christians, but I just think that it's really dangerous to put Christians on a pedestal in believing they can't do those same things.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we are still all human beings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Christians, it's obvious that we all try to walk as much like Jesus as we can, mm-hmm. but we can't be perfect like him. Like, we're going to disappoint each other. Yeah. But I don't know. I just think that that's been the biggest lesson for me is like, dang, I really think I put like the church on a pedestal of perfection, I guess.
Yeah.
Where I didn't think that they would hurt me. But but I have seen that. People have hurt me in the church.
Yeah.
And that's just, yeah, go ahead. Bring it up with scripture.
Come on.
Matthew 7:15, the tree and its fruit. That's what it's titled. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves.
Mm.
Keyword, beware.
Mm.
Keyword, beware. What?
Stay awake.
Okay. You can identify them by their fruit.
Wow.
That is,
come on.
By the way they act.
Come on.
Wow.
Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit.
Mm.
A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions.
By their actions. Dang. What's crazy is God warns us about the world, but he warns us about the church too.
Fear of God.
He's talking about people in the church.
Mm. I mean, if you look at the people that he was rebuking the most, it was the people in the church. It was the Pharisees.
Yeah.
I think that's something that we have to remember is it's the ones who were the Pharisees that were like looked at as like the enemies of God.
Yeah.
Constantly following him around to find, you know, rebuke him and think they're holier than thou. What it was pride.
Yeah.
Dang.
Ooh. I think I have been way too trusting and putting my guard totally down just because someone says they're a Christian or just because they have a gift or just because they're good at one thing or the next. And yeah, that's
Ash, as you're speaking, 1 Timothy 4, warning against false teachers.
Mm.
Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God has created is good, we should not reject any of it and receive thanks for him, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. Continue on. I don't know where the exact scripture is that talks about in the last days. It says, God, actually, I need this scripture because it is like, it is so prominent in what we're living in right now about people only wanting to hear what their itching ears. Y'all know that scripture about itching ears?
Yeah. You've been saying that a lot lately too.
Yeah. It's
itching
like,
ears.
It's in, it should be 2 Timothy 4. I was looking in 1 Timothy 4, but hey, that was so crazy because it still talked about false teachers. 2 Timothy 4:3. Jackie O'Perry teaches a lot about this. She said that the Lord told her, like, in 2024, like, everywhere that she goes, like, to teach this message. She was like, it don't matter if I'm teaching on finances. She's going to also talk about itching ears because it's so prominent. So 2 Timothy 4:3. I'll read at the beginning. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Oof. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry. Ministry God has given to you. This is why it's so important that we're renewing our mind, because at the end of the day, we're going to go and listen to whatever we desire. And I've noticed that heavy, specifically in California, people are only desiring, you know, to feel good. So therefore they're looking more for the gifts than they are for the fruit, because they don't even care about, honestly, the Lord. They just care about what people can do.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
For them, how God's giftings can, you know,
they're
make them feel about themselves.
The giver.
And it's crazy. And it's so important that we are renewing our mind, that as we sit with God, the word of God says it can wash over us and renew our mind, change our mind and our heart to where we no longer desire these things. I'm not saying, girl, like, there's a lot of times I'm going to want to be hyped up. That's just how life is. You know, like, you want someone to hype you up or make you feel good and all these things, and that's not inherently bad. But at the end of the day, when we go to the Lord, he changes our desires and humbles us. Yeah. So therefore, for me, I mean, whenever we've, glory to God, we found a home church. Like, we all go to the same church, y'all.
And by the grace of God.
Grace.
That talk is about a promise. I was like, I know that that is a promise from God.
Yes.
And we didn't see that for a minute, guys.
Crazy. Yeah. And that's a whole other thing. But it's like, when we were looking for a church, I think when I first moved out here, I was looking at gifting. I was looking at, and that ended up me getting really hurt and confused. And as I was looking at gifting and what people were saying, I actually started to question my walk with Jesus, if I could hear him, to where I literally one day, y'all remember this, I just got up and left to Honduras.
Yeah.
Because I lived there last year, and I just wanted to be with my family, because I was like, I cannot do this.
We were texting Karu one day, and then the next day we were like, hey, bro, what are you doing today? And he was like, oh, I'm in Honduras. What? I said Honduras.
It's giving.
Honduras. I said, where? What are you doing?
It's giving mental breakdown.
We were like, all right.
We were going to see if you wanted to get coffee, but I guess you're in a literal different country
now. Okay, so why did you do that? Because you were just really, you were overwhelmed?
I think I wanted to go back to what I knew.
Yeah.
And like moving here, there's a lot. And there's a lot of people operating in stuff that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that the Lord works miracles. But something about a lot of the stuff happening here was rubbing me the wrong way. And I was getting, like, my discernment was saying, this is not of me. This is for show.
Yeah.
And did the Lord still use it? Yes, because he's gracious. But I was feeling those things, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I'm the issue. And what I've learned in 9 times out of 10, Satan, the name Satan literally means the accuser. If you go and look at the book of Job, he's listed Satan, the accuser. He's just going to give you accusations.
He's going to lie to you.
He's going to lie to you. So what is the opposite of the lie of the truth? So anytime you feel these accusations at yourself of, usually when it's turning toward yourself of, oh, well, you're ugly, or, oh, this is your fault, or this is this. What I see now is like, it's actually the complete opposite.
It's so true.
So for example, like Satan tried to make me feel like I'm a burden. Actually, no, Matthew says, come to me, all who are weary and carry a heavy burden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So therefore I'm not a burden, because I have the burden of Christ, which is light. So what I've just had to realize is that it was a lot of just the enemy trying to like mess with my mind and constantly flip it on me. It's you. When you constantly feel these accusations like against yourself, it's usually always the enemy always the enemy. And it's hard whenever it's people in the church.
Wow. Yeah.
It's hard. Oof. When it's people in the church.
Because it's expected from people outside the church.
Exactly. And that's why I'm like, because I was
or
like.
Or if it's people in the church that other people like speak super well of.
Yeah.
And you're like, I mean, this could be
I'm
anyone.
Trust this person.
Anyone listening, like maybe it's a pastor, a church leader or a friend who everyone like freaks out about. But like that person isn't bearing good fruit in your life. And you're like, am I crazy?
Dang.
Wow.
So what it goes down to. And who you're listening to and who you're around is what is your desire? Because it literally says in this, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear.
Right. They just want to be validated.
What is your desire?
I mean,
in looking for a home church, I'm looking for a church that is preaching the word of God. Because I was asking specific people, hey, where in the word of God does it say that this? No one could show me these things. They're operating in these giftings, but the word of God isn't backing it up. And that's
a
red flag
opinion,
for me.
Though.
That is the biggest red flag to a community is when the word of God is never talked about.
If someone's operating in something and can't back it up by scripture, I'm going to head out immediately.
Or even saying things that over you, prophesying over you, and none of it is backed by scripture.
Dang.
But their personal opinion.
Yeah.
Oop. Red flag.
There can
and their only thing to back it up is like, I feel the spirit of God saying this.
Red flag.
Okay, I'm glad you feel that, but can we, where are the receipts?
Well, what's scary is a lot of these prophetic words are what you want to hear.
Right.
What your itching ears want to hear, and that's when it gets dangerous, and that's when it gets scary. Starts messing with your mind of, I mean, there's been so many instances where I've had people prophesy over friends of like, oh, this is going to happen, and these people are going to give you this. 3 days later, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then bro's mad at God because someone spoke a prophetic word over him that something was going to happen. At the end of the day, they weren't speaking from the spirit of God. They were speaking out of flesh. And that is why it's so dangerous.
Because they probably knew that the person wanted to hear that. And two, they wanted to seem as if they had, like in that moment, they were speaking from like a place of propheticness.
Authority,
you know
what I mean?
Well, and I also think the flip side is when someone can prophesy over you and it's not what you want to hear. And it's also not from God.
I've had that happen to me.
So I've also had that
happen to me. And
it
didn't give me any peace. I once received recently a prophetic word, air quote, prophetic word. Mm-hmm. And
where they said it was prophetic?
They said it was prophetic. They also, y'all, and I think I've talked about this specifically on my podcast before. And we can go into this. But like, oh, where did my thought just go?
Someone spoke a prophetic word.
Oh, but they don't come into it with a place of like, hey, but if this doesn't feel like it's from the Lord, let it fall.
If someone gives you a prophetic word and doesn't say, hey, but if this is not from
like,
God, let
no
it fall.
There's no place
test
of humility.
This, then don't listen.
And I didn't receive any humility from this person. It was like, well, God just told me to tell you this. And I still don't understand it to this day, but I was in a place of almost panic. Like I was feeling like a panic attack and anxiety was coming up after I received that word.
Dang.
It was the weird, it was demonic. That's what it was. It was not of the Lord. And so I just think that that's so important is like, there's room for the spirit to actually, like God is actually in the room. And also like that person is making space for the Lord to just like, you know, do his thing and say, if this is from the Lord, then I pray it sticks. But if it's not, let it fall. And you should always feel peace, even if it is hard to hear, if it's just the hard truth and dad's just being dad. Right?
She okay,
she's getting
scripture.
Because, you
but
know
if it
why?
Doesn't bring you peace and you feel anxious, that is not from the Lord.
Because, everybody, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them.
If I didn't feel
were you strengthened? Were you encouraged? And were you comforted by that word?
No, and no.
It ain't from God.
And this isn't saying that when you speak a prophetic word that it won't be uncomfortable. You will still feel an underlying peace. And that's what that scripture is talking about. Do you think whenever the Lord called Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh, that he felt peace?
Yeah.
I mean, that he felt comfortable?
Comfort.
Not really.
No.
He didn't really want to do that.
Totally.
It's out of his comfort zone. Do you think I feel, you know, comfort whenever I'm like, the Lord's calling me? But there's an underlying peace. Yeah. Of you cannot run away. Yeah. Like whenever Jonah ran, he got swallowed up by the whale. I know there was something in him. He was like, I cannot. I can't run away from this. Yeah. There's always an underlying piece of the Spirit of God when he's calling you into new things.
Even if it's scary.
Well, and it's for building. The gift of prophecy is for building up.
Yes.
Not calling
and
out.
And encouraging the church. Mm.
The gift of prophecy is for building up, not calling out.
Building up the other person and not yourself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of prophecy that I've heard people say was to build up their ego and try to prove to me that they can hear from God when it was actually a complete miss. And it just made me live in shame.
Yeah.
And that's where the Lord is really healing me in right now. Y'all know I started therapy about 2 months ago and it's been life-changing for me. She's a Christian therapist, knows the word. I love her so much. She's amazing.
She's always backing it up in scripture too, which I love.
I mean, she pulls out the word of God before she pulls out any other psychology book.
That's it.
Because, I mean, is that not a psychology book? Because he's our creator. He created our mind. And what I've realized is for so long, I was conditioned and taught to literally live in shame. Mm. I was teaching out of wounds. I was on podcasts leading out of wounds. I was doing all these things. And after my podcast with Megan, if you guys are real ones, y'all remember that one. Actually life-changing. It changed my life. And the Lord was just setting the tone for me to like be ready. Because I told my therapist, I said, I want to be a healthy leader. And I've seen so many leaders that are saying these things, but they're so unhealthy. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to teach out of wounds anymore. I want to live in freedom. I don't want to be bound up by shame anymore. And what I've realized is by how I was raised and just a lot of other factors, I feel like I was doing actions because I felt shame, not because my heart was actually changing. And what the Lord is teaching me here, like with all the stuff, you know, that we're feeling or we've experienced, there's so much grace still for the church. Because like you said, we're humans. We're all going to make mistakes. There's so much grace for even people who have hurt me or hurt you guys. Because at the end of the day, what I'm realizing is it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. What is repentance? It's first confess with your mouth, and then two, it's change, transformation.
Yeah.
And what I've learned is that when you're trying to shame somebody, there's no transformation internally. They might change their actions.
Yeah.
They might stop doing, you know, what you don't want them to do or what you've shamed them in, but their heart hasn't changed.
Yeah.
And the only way to change someone's heart is using the word of God. Yeah. I mean, it's sharper than a double-edged sword, but to be kind in doing it. And I think I've experienced just a lot. And even me, y'all, I used to be so, I mean, when we first met, I was so angry on social media and like always having to rebuke somebody and rebuke something because I was living in shame. And the Lord was showing me that I couldn't show anyone anything that I've never received. Mm. So if I haven't received the Lord's grace or his love, how am I going to be loving or gracious to anybody else?
That's such a real word.
So I think it's so important that whenever people are coming at us with stuff, and sometimes, you know, the word is something we don't want to hear, but when it's in love and grace, be careful, because when there's no love in it, God's not in it, because the word of God says that God is love.
Yeah.
So if somebody's telling you something in anger and shame, at least for me, I'm in a season where I'm not even listening. I have my core people, my core community that love me. 90% edification, 10% calling higher.
Yeah.
And never calling out.
And let me even say the calling higher is actually edifying me. So maybe 100% everything.
Yeah.
But be careful with people who only want to text you to rebuke you.
Womp.
Because if you're only texting me to rebuke me, or you're only reaching out to me to rebuke me, but you're not encouraging me, you're not for me.
Yeah.
I also, I feel led to say this. One, I want to honor you because Karu's wicked prophetic.
He is.
And you, when you prophesy, do it out of a place of love and
encouragement.
You, sweet Aliost, are prophetic as well. And you do it out of building others up and encouraging others. And I trust y'all's words. And so I want to honor you guys both in that.
Thank you. I also
want to raise a question. Mm. How do you know if something is a prophetic word? How do you know if you should just like toss it or if you should receive it?
Mm. Yeah. How do you know if the prophetic word is truly from Jesus? Like if it's really from God.
And like, what is a prophetic word?
Yeah, I was going to say.
For all those who are listening are like, what? Because I didn't know what a prophetic word was.
I didn't.
First 4 years of my Christian walk, I had no idea what it was.
Wait, I want to ask you that question. What a prophetic word is, Ash?
Okay.
Because you know you're cooking.
So a prophetic word is a word sent from a messenger of God, the prophet, to send a message that is from God.
So they've directly heard a word, something, whatever that is, word of knowledge, a message mm-hmm. from the Father, and says, I have something for you from God.
And before, often it will tell you something of the future. Often, but it is always comforting,
yeah.
strengthening, and edifying.
And a lot of prophetic words can just be from the Bible.
Yes.
And I think sometimes people think there's going to be, Aliost, in 10 years you will. That's not always
like
how
it's
it
giving
is.
Psychic.
You know?
Well, but yeah, I actually feel like, 85% of the time.
I love the percentages.
Which number?
There are some people who are literally saying October 2025, this is going to happen to you, blah, 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 blah. And it legit happens.
Yeah. I haven't gotten words like that often. But either. The ones I've gotten like 85% of the time is God making me feel so seen in that moment with either something I'm internally dealing with, something that maybe he's told me and I'm like doubting whether it was actually from the Lord or not. Like I have these desires of my heart and these promises that I've received from God, but I'm like, does he even remember? Is it even going to happen? I feel like a lot of the prophetic words that I personally have received is always God being like, I'm still here. This is still a promise to you. This is still it's just more confirmation on top of things I've already been feeling or dealing with that person had no business knowing because that was between me and God.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I do think it's also God just wanting to like encourage us and being like, I'm still here. This is still a promise. I see you. I love you. I know you're struggling with this feeling. I think you're beautiful. I think you're this, you're that. Like there are people that have come up and been like, you are, Allie, you are this, that, and the next. And I'm like, wow, I've actually been really struggling with that. I've been feeling so insecure in that. But God wanted me to know that that was not the truth.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's not always like, in 10 years, you're going to be receiving all of this wealth.
Yeah.
It's like, God loves you and he sees you in this thing. And you're like, wow, there's no reason they should have ever known that.
That's so good.
I love that type of prophecy where it's just
crazy.
Like, God's like, I see you and I love you.
Yeah. So what do y'all go about? Because I even believe that people can speak a quote-unquote prophetic word, that it's what you want to hear, like 2 Timothy 4 is talking about. You want to hear, and they even could hear, you know, something that, like, not really anyone know, but it could still not be from the Lord. Because it was saying in this that I solemnly urge you in the presence of God, in Jesus Christ, who will solemnly judge the living, patiently, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires.
Yeah.
They will look for teachers who will teach them what their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth, chase myths, but you keep a clear mind. I think earlier in first, it talks about, because there are spiritual mediums. That's even the Bible of people who basically hear from demons. There's a story with Paul teaching, and he's teaching, and there's this like what people will pull of it, like a being a monitoring spirit. It was just somebody who was sitting there and like listening to him, and he just got fed up and he was just like, all right, out in the name of Jesus, cast it out. And there was another time where there was this one, and I think it might have been that same following story where the person who got delivered, it might be another story, was a spiritual medium, and the people who were over that girl were mad because they were making money for her because she was a psychic telling people the future and all of these things. So even people who aren't following God can still reveal some information, because if we think about it, whenever we were born not only into a physical world, but a spiritual one as well. So, I mean, as the Lord protects us and sees us, Satan has demons and his little minions that also have seen what we've grown up in. So I could say, Allie, you know, whenever you were 5 years old, this happened to you, and you could be like, oh, well, you know, this is spirit of God. It could be, or it could also be just because the enemy knows that.
Well, and I love that too, because the thing is only God knows the future. And so isn't it interesting that like psychics and all of these mediums and stuff, they're always referring to things from your past.
Mm.
Like when you were 5 years old, this happened. Mm. Your dad died when you were 12. Yeah, because the demons were demoning and they were there too. But it's so funny because they can never accurately tell the future. Or if they do, it's not the truth, because the demons don't know. Only God knows your future.
Well, in a lot of, I mean, I'm not educated as much on like the spiritual medium and psychic
Me
and all
neither,
that stuff.
Honestly.
But what I think a lot of it is they're bringing, you know, first off something with your past, and then you, you know, believe them, and then
but
they
that's
do,
the hook of like, okay, I trust.
Right. And then they do the tarot card reading, and then what you unknowingly did is came into agreement with something that will happen in your future.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is happening, and that's why I do think a lot of it does come true when because you believed it and you came into agreement with it.
Wow.
But again, I'm not a teacher on that stuff.
Yeah, that's like a whole nother rabbit hole.
Well, and even like just for those watching, I know there's probably people
I know
who,
we're throwing a lot out, y'all.
Yeah, let's reel it probably, in for just a second.
There's probably people who are watching who have experience with seeing, you know, like doing tarot card readings and even manifesting and like psychic readings. And I just want to say, one, I'm so grateful you're here.
Yeah.
So praise God that you're here. There is no shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also want to give you such a warning to not open those doors anymore.
It's very dangerous.
Please hear me when I say this. Like, you need to not open those doors anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because every time you do that, it is like you are cracking a door open to the demonic into your life. And it's going to come looking like light. It's going to come looking like all this like revelation.
And it might even
feel
that way.
It might even feel really, oh, this is cool. But you are setting yourself up to have all of these spirits in your life that are not from God.
It's quicksand.
And so we just plead the blood of Jesus over the person watching this right now. I really, truly believe there's someone.
Yeah.
Or if you want to just, you know, if you have a friend to just warn against that. It's so common with this generation under us.
In love,
in grace.
With this generation, but also the generation under us. Like the way that as soon they're getting introduced to this stuff in childhood now. And so
I've done that stuff. I went to a psychic once. I got a tarot card reading before.
Yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't feel like it's that big of a deal. And it doesn't even feel that heavy when you're doing it. But yeah, I love what Ashley said. I think it's just like, it's one of those things that don't really feel like it's that deep at first. And you're like, what do you mean? I am getting all these things. It's great. It's love. It's light. But it's like the next thing you know, you really are in quicksand and you're sinking. And it's just a really dangerous place to be in.
Did the tarot card reading come true?
No.
No.
It actually crumbled and failed.
That's you want
That's
to
on
hear?
God. No, he didn't allow it.
You want to hear God's words about you. You want to hear prophetic words from God.
If you want a spiritual reading, let's open this book.
Yes. Right.
Because the Lord says, like, if we would just confess with our mouth and believe, then you are chosen.
Yeah.
You're blameless. Yeah. You're holy. You're pure. You're righteous. That the Lord no longer sees us for our sin or our shame or anything that we have done or will do, but he just sees us for what his son did for us.
Yeah.
Like, we go back to Genesis 3, and that when Adam and Eve were in shame and fell into sin, that the Lord saw after them and covered them with the animal skin, that they no longer could see their shame or their nakedness because there was a covering over them.
Yeah.
So for the one who is, you know, wanting that reading, this is your reading today. That if you confess with your mouth and believe, that the Lord doesn't see you for anything that you've ever done.
That's so hard, like, to believe and wrap your mind around.
Like, that's where the Lord has been walking me in. And I know we're talking about a lot of heavy stuff and a lot of deep stuff, but like, at the end of it, there's just so much grace.
Yeah.
Like, so much grace for everybody.
Yeah.
For me. Because, I mean, we're teaching this, but we are so imperfect.
We're so flawed.
The Lord just continues. And there's so much stuff the Lord just teaches us and renews our mind. And it's just, like, so humbling. But two things I want to touch on. One is, so how do we test a prophetic word? How do we know? Because the Word of God says to test spirits, you know. Mm-hmm. How can we know? And that's even a question for me. I'm like, dang. How do I know? Because sometimes I think I do fall into this 2 Timothy 4 category where I'm like, dang, I'm only listening. And maybe it's because I just wanted to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's, I mean, I don't know if it's simpler than we make it to be, but I just think it's about denying our flesh and humbling ourselves enough at the feet of Jesus to say, okay, God, this felt really good to receive. And, like, I'm loving this, but also I know the fruit of believing something that was not actually sent by you. And that is way more damaging than probably maybe the ouchies that are about to happen with me surrendering this. But I'm giving this word to you, God, and I'm asking that if this was genuinely from you, that it sticks. It doesn't leave my mind. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop feeling peace about it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just confirm that for me, Father. But if not, I pray that it falls and I don't have peace about it.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that takes a lot of humility, especially if it's something that you really wanted to hear. Because I think it's easier for us to be like, okay, that was from the Lord because it made me feel really good. But it's also like, let's just make sure, even when it feels good, even if it is something that we really wanted to hear, every time it doesn't hurt, but just be like, God, if this was from you, let it stick. If it wasn't, please let it fall. Because it's way more damaging to not, and then the disappointment of it not coming true or whatever else, it's way more painful that way than just immediately surrendering that prophetic word and saying, God, do what you want with this. If this was from you, then hallelujah. If not, let it go.
Yeah.
You know?
I also have another way that I've seen that I know that something is prophetic. So if you've been in the prophetic world for a beat, I've probably like been getting receiving prophetic words for years now. But how I know that I should really pay attention to one is when, this is just so cool, is when, you know, like a couple years ago, I had someone speak something over me, and I'm not going to use the specific words, but they spoke something over me. And then a couple months after that, another person from church spoke the same word. And then a couple months after that, another person from a conference spoke the same word.
Yeah.
Oh, and then another person a couple months after that, a friend said, you know, I feel
And they didn't have a conversation.
It's the same word. So if you are listening to this and you are getting the same word, it's the same word. Mm-hmm. It's kind of overdone.
The same dad.
That is the same father, the same spirit that's trying to communicate something to you and say, I need you to come into agreement with this, that this is who I believe you are.
Dang.
That's so good.
So I know that I know that I know that something is from God when it is repeated by multiple people who don't even know each other.
Yeah.
But I don't really pay attention to the ones that just come out of nowhere. And I'm like, I have not heard that ever.
Yeah. Or it's like, I wasn't even thinking about that. Right. I never felt that.
I usually toss those.
Yeah. And usually just taking it back to God.
Yeah.
Like,
even if you toss it and it was from the Lord, here's the thing. He's going to do that.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, nah, that wasn't for me. And then same thing that happened to you. And then all of a sudden another person is speaking it over you. Like, the Lord won't let you miss it if it's from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think really just bringing it back to the Lord and praying.
Yeah, so what does that look like, praying about it?
I think it literally looks like just what Allie said. Hey, God, if this is from you, open the door, give me peace and clarity, and let me just walk in this.
Or give me confirmation again, like that, word or a sign or whatever, like confirm it for me then, Father.
And God, if this isn't from you, shut the door and make me feel, I always say make me feel icky. Like, make me feel icky.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family, with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Like, help me know, like, this is not of you.
Yeah.
And he always does.
Yeah.
And if you've never received a prophetic word before,
We have one for you. Just say,
so I have one. I'm just kidding.
You have to pay $500, there's people on TikTok who do that.
That's crazy.
If you have not received a prophetic word, you are allowed to ask God to give you a prophetic word.
Yes.
Say, Father, hey, love you, Lord.
You did that the other day.
I would like a prophetic word. I've never gotten one. Would you please give me one? And guess what? The Father is so kind. You're about to go to church and someone's going to come up to you and be like, this is so weird. Toss this if this doesn't resonate. But boom. And it's going to speak right into your heart, right into your situation.
Because he loves you that much.
Yeah.
He does.
And I think
he'll do it.
Like, yeah, because I've definitely asked the Lord that many times, and the way that he does speak, but it's not always in the way that you think.
Yeah.
So, like, because I could see someone saying, okay, well, I'm gonna go, you know, ask the Lord for prophetic word right now, and I'm going to church. Why? It's been a month, ain't nobody come up to me. Maybe because he's speaking to you in some other way, but you are not willing to humble yourself to see that he's speaking through the person you hate the most, or the thing, you know, that you have bitterness in. I believe 100% that if you ask the Lord for things that are his desires and his will, then, you know, he'll give you those things.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't withhold. Every good gift and every good thing is from him.
Yeah.
But I think even just knowing that he speaks in so many different ways that we have to be able to be vigilant and, like, open to see, like, it could be in a different form than we thought.
Yes. Yeah. I also feel led to say this.
Yeah.
I would idolize getting a prophetic word over hearing the voice of God.
Yeah.
So if you are truly in Christ Jesus, you are baptized by the Spirit of God, you're baptized by water, you are it, you are walking with God, you have direct access to the voice of God 24/7.
It doesn't have to be through someone else.
You don't need to wait for someone to come up to you and say that they have a word from God, because you can have a word from God right now.
Directly from him.
And so that's why I love what Ali said. She's like, listen, I already felt like the Father was telling me something. And then someone just confirmed it.
Yeah.
That's God's favorite thing to do, because he wants to tell you first and build relationship with you first.
Ashley. Yeah.
You don't have to wait for someone to give you a prophetic word to hear from God.
Yeah. Mm. That's so good.
Dang.
So I have a question, because I want to bring it back quickly. This is me just... not even my pod, but I have a question, because we were talking about, like, people in the church, and especially me, I was like, world versus church, being hurt, you know, there's these things that we've experienced. So I guess my question is, because I know there are people that relate to that, of how do we get to a place, like, how do we navigate that moving forward? Because I do think that the tempting thing to do, especially from the enemy, is to then be like, I don't trust the church anymore. Mm. I've been hurt. I've been burned by too many people. They're no different than the world, whatever. Like, how do we stop ourselves from going down that route and still being open, but I guess more guarded? Like, how does that look moving forward with trusting people in the church?
That's good.
Dang.
Ashley's like on her freaking Zoom.
As she should. I will answer as she's searching.
Yeah, what do you think?
I say grace, and I say prayer.
Yeah.
In realizing that every single person that's ever hurt us in our lives, we've hurt somebody too.
Yeah.
We've done the very things to you know, someone else that we've done to other people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And that really humbles me. Yeah. Whenever somebody does something or says something to me, and then I get all mad and I'm like, oh wait, I've actually done this to someone else.
I've probably done that too.
Yeah. So grace and realizing that humans are human.
Yeah.
And that's just a result of living in a fallen world. Like, quit taking it so deep that it's about you.
Mm.
It's about that person hurting.
Yes.
And what I've had to realize is, I mean, the quote, hurt people is so true.
Yeah.
People who are hurting inside, they can never show something they've never received.
Yeah.
So if they've never experienced grace and love, then it's hard for them to be gracious and loving. So for me, when people are lashing out like that, it actually burdens my heart. And when I first followed the Lord, I was having to deal with a lot of people like that. So I said, God, whenever people are angry at me and lash out at me or, you know, curse my name, may I feel a burden in my heart, no anger, but a burden to love them even deeper as he does.
No
so
offense.
I say grace. And I also say prayer. Prayer for your core. I mean, you see with Jesus and the 12 disciples, I mean, Jesus hung out with the disciples. He did life with them.
Yeah.
But we also see in the Bible that Peter, James, and John, which we talk about all the time, were his core. He showed specific secrets to them, pulled them in moments that he didn't pull anybody else into.
Yeah.
Why? Because he had his core. And I think for me personally, that he was setting up what it looks like to live a life in community and friendship. Think about it. Judas was with them and the 12 disciples. He still did life with them. He still loved him. He still washed his feet, knowing he was going to betray him, but he did not bring him into the secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring him into those small moments because he couldn't be trusted.
Yeah.
So there's people in our life that are in our disciple. I mean, we see them every day. We do life with them that the Lord still wants us to love, have grace, you know, not just to shun them and push them away, have grace towards them, but to not bring in our core. So in prayer, God, who's my core people? Show me who your core is. When he reveals you your core, it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was telling my roommate this the other day. I was like, if somebody is not in my core, like, I'm literally not letting them, unless it's some crazy moment from God, speak over my identity, my relationship with God or anything. Because if someone who's out of that, I'm going to run it through y'all and the other people in my core. If it's false, it falls.
Yeah.
So prayer.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I think Karu literally covered that.
Yeah,
the only thing
that.
I would add is just Proverbs 4:23, which is guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So I think it's crazy because out of the same Bible we read that we need to love everyone, but then we also need to guard our heart.
Wow.
How do you balance that? So one, it's wisdom. We need to love everyone. That is who we are as Christians, and that is how we are different from the world.
Yeah.
We love the people who have freaking hurt us.
Yes.
We love the people who spoke a prophetic word over us that literally made us cry.
Yes.
We love the people who have spoken ill will over us, who have gossiped about us, whatever. We love them.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is first and foremost, if you are a Christ follower and you are not loving, if you hate your brother or sister, you are not a Christ follower.
Yeah.
You are to love everyone. Even the people who have hurt you. However, you are also to use wisdom. And you are to use wisdom with who you let into your heart.
Oh, that's so good.
Who you let into your heart.
Yeah.
And who you trust with your heart. Because God tells you to love everyone, but he never tells you in his word to trust everyone.
Mm. Yeah, he actually tells us that it's healthy to set boundaries. Guarding our heart is setting a boundary.
Yeah.
Jesus only letting in a few of his disciples to see certain things was a boundary that he was setting. He still loved everyone, but it's okay to have a boundary even with people in the church.
Yeah, to people who have hurt you. People are like, well, okay, I'm supposed to forgive everyone, but
that doesn't mean let them in.
You can forgive someone and love someone and have compassion for them without letting them become your literal best friend because that's not wise.
Yeah.
And I actually think guarding your heart and setting those boundaries is loving them better.
Yeah.
Is loving them better because if you allowed them in like you once did before, they're going to hurt you the same way and you're going to allow them to continue to live in their same sin cycle.
Yeah.
There's been people in my life where I've had to, you know, guard my heart and slowly step back away because I knew that I was almost like crippling them. Like my friendship was like crippling them, that I needed to step back in order for them to thrive. And that's love because it's hard when you want to be close to those people.
Yeah.
But it's like, I need to guard my heart because it is draining me and it's also draining you as well. So pray. And then the Lord will show you who you need to step back in. Because like I said, guarding your heart is showing that person that you love them better. Because it clearly didn't work out the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the toxic relationship is for both ends.
Yeah.
Like, it's toxic on both ends.
Yeah, and I think, again, like, just always bringing it to the feet of Jesus and saying, all right, Lord, what is this relationship going to look like moving forward? Because there is grace, you
There's
know?
So
like,
much grace.
We're going to hurt each other, and it's not like a, you know, one strike, you're out type deal where it's like, okay, now you're not close to me anymore. I think, obviously, it depends on every situation and also just bringing it to God because he's ultimately...
You will know if it's
know.
A God.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's been many times that we've all, like, gotten a fire argument, but it's like... It's like, okay, like whatever.
But it's like, we're not cutting each other out of each other's lives.
Because we know the fruit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen y'all's fruit and I trust your fruit.
Which speaks a better word.
And so if you also want to know, how do I know who I can trust? Go back to that scripture about fruit.
Yes.
And what is fruit? It's actions.
Yeah.
Don't pay attention to what people say. Mm. Pay attention to what they do.
Which is funny because that's even preached in the world. When it's like Bible was OG. That's crazy. God said it first. He said, look at people's actions before their words.
Like, I could cry. Y'all too. Your guys' actions are Christ-like. Mm. You guys act like Jesus. Mm. You don't just speak like Jesus. You literally act like Jesus.
Yeah.
And so pay attention to what people do.
Yeah.
And then be like, all right, that person, they are acting like Jesus. The people who act like Jesus might not even talk that much. Mm, they might not even say much at all.
Because they're confident.
But they're showing up for you when you have the worst day ever. Mm. They're making sure that you're okay when, you know, you're just struggling.
Yeah.
They're having compassion towards you. They're getting you food when you're sick. Like, those people. Mm. And not even just doing the people that do things for you that you need to let in. The people that just act like Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
And even, I think.
Yeah, that's so good.
What the people do after they make a mistake shows a lot about the fruit.
Ooh, that's really good.
If when they did something they shouldn't have done and they're not open, because the thing is, we all, as much as we act like Jesus, we make mistakes every single day.
I did the other day at Disney.
But there's grace.
I made a mistake.
We say stupid things sometimes.
But after, I mean, you couldn't even wait an hour without coming up to me and repenting and apologizing.
Ashley is the quickest repenter I've ever met in my life.
Well, and then changing. And I think that shows a good friendship because obviously we're all going to make mistakes. But it's like having that grace. But if that person is not willing to change because they can repent with that
it's
mouth.
The repentance and then the change.
If they can repent with that mouth, but that heart isn't transforming and they continue to do it every single time.
That's still words, actually. That's still words. Because again, what does that come down to? Actions.
Yeah.
So they can say, I repent. I'm sorry. That was wrong. Do the same thing again. Your words mean diddly now. Even your repentance verbally, it needs to always be backed up in action.
And we go to sum up the whole podcast. How do we bear fruit? We have to be deeply rooted, like the word of God says, by the riverbanks, which is in Christ, in Jesus. So deeply rooted in his word. So therefore we can bear the fruit. Because all it is renewal of the mind.
Yeah.
The heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, and just becoming like Jesus.
Yeah.
I can never act like Jesus if I've never met him. If I've never seen, you know, how I need to act, then I can never act in that way. Because I think that's a whole nother tangent. People in the world like aren't able to act in ways because it's just like either worse or worser. But like when you've experienced good,
come on,
when you've experienced good,
or worser, right.
This one worse. But when you've experienced good, then you know how to be good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just saying with Jesus. But anyways, we going on a tangent, y'all.
We could go on for five ever. Actually, I felt like we were on tangents. I felt like this all flowed.
No, it ate.
No, I think it was good. This was the spirit. It made sense.
All right, let's pray. I love y'all guys so much.
Dear Lord. Such a good first episode.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus, for just everyone, Lord, in
thank
this
you
world.
For teaching
I just
us,
pray
God.
Over the world. Lord, I just thank you for this podcast. I thank you for just my friend listening or watching on the other side of the screen. I pray that this bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, with the actual minuscule knowledge we know, the little tiny that we're trying to share, that even some stuff we shared, like we're just trying our best, Lord, and we're learning and we're growing, God. I just pray that it bless them, that it transform their heart, transform their life, and at the end of the day, turn their eyes and their mind onto you and not unto us in the name of Jesus, God. I just pray that at the end of this episode, God, that they would go seek you, that they would sit with you, that they would desire to know you more, that they would desire to know the man that we are talking about, that we're crazy about, that we are acting weird about, Lord, the one who changed our life.
Yes.
I just pray over the relationships that are happening in their life, Lord, that your hand would just be on that your will be done in their life in the name of Jesus, that if there's anyone in y'all friend, I'm gonna pray this for you. If there's anyone in your life that is not from God, that is not for you, I just pray that they would leave in Jesus' name. And anyone who is from God and is for you in your life, that God would give you such peace and clarity and confirmation in that in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would bless them with your peace.
Yes,
God, I pray that they would be so deeply rooted in the word of God to bear so much fruit.
Yes.
That you would just let them be so discerning, Lord, because they're close to you, Lord. Lord, that they hear your voice. For your word says that your sheep know the shepherd's voice in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Woo.